Welcome to Geological Shop Talk. In this podcast, we bring you roughly 12 to 15 minutes of practical clinical methods, perspectives, and advice that has its work boots on. In the next few minutes, you'll get a clinical gem of practical material that you can begin to investigate the next time that you walk into clinic. Additionally, visit the show notes page for supporting materials from this week's guest on Shop Talk. All right, roll up your sleeves. Let's get to work.
Hi, my name is Damo Mitchell, and today in Shop Talk, I'll be talking about the craft of acupuncture or how I see it. I mean, I was taught acupuncture in various ways, including at a university in the UK, but then also apprenticed to several teachers in Asia and the West as well. So I've had different kinds of training. And one thing that I very much had passed down to me by the people that I apprenticed to and learned in this fashion was that acupuncture is a craft. It's something that must be developed over a long period of time, and it involves a specific skill set. And one of those skill sets that I think is really important is the use of the needle, the acupuncture needle. So obviously in acupuncture, everybody knows we're inserting these fine sterile needles into the into the patient's body. But to me, they have to be done, like the actual act of inserting the needles is a practice, is something we must develop, is a form of Gong Fu. So one piece of advice that I'm always giving to people when I first start to talk to them about Chinese medicine, or they ask my opinion on how to practice, and one thing I always, dare I say, enforce on the people that I directly teach acupuncture to, is that you must get rid of those guide tubes. So they got to go. I don't like them. I didn't like them at all. I know that some people really like this idea of you putting the plastic tube on the body and then just tapping the needle. But where's the craft? You know, like where's the skill of the needle insertion? Where is the beauty and the connection that you have with the patient that you just don't get in the same way as if you're practicing needle insertion just freely from your hand into the body? I look at it this way, you know, like there's a way of understanding the channel system. So as all of you know, you're all Chinese medicine practitioners, I'm sure, the channels have different aspects to them. One of the aspects of the channel system being the Jin or the sinew channels, okay? So these lines of connective tissue that run, not identical, but in similar pathways to the primary channels, right? So when we look at the depths of the channels, usually we talk about the sinew channels being more superficial and the primary channels being comparatively deeper. But in actual fact, I mean, that's a model, isn't it? That's a model for us to understand the channel aspects of the body, but really they're kind of intertwined. So the way that I view the sinew channels is they're like a riverbed through which the primary channel flows, if you like. So the primary channel to me is kind of encapsulated in these sinews, in these connective tissues that run through it. One way that one of my previous teachers would talk about them, and okay, he stole this, borrowed, whatever you want to say. He borrowed this analogy from Chinese martial arts because he was also a martial arts practitioner. And he would say that the sinew channels are like a drum skin that is pulled tight. And then the vibration of the drum skin is like the primary channel conducting its way along this sort of elastic connectivity. So if I wish to treat somebody and I wish to insert a needle, then basically I can access, if I've got skill, I can access these different layers of the body. So if I'm treating something on the level of the sinew channels, I can insert the needle into the body and touch the sinew channels. And to be honest, that's a lot easier than touching the primary channel. To actually insert the needle through, let's be honest, through the sinew channel without affecting it, to then hit the primary channel is what takes a little bit of skill. And this really is where the craft of acupuncture comes in, as far as I can see. Because the body, the human body, and the way that it works on the level of channels is very sort of limited with regards to the instructions it can take. So basically, when I insert the needle, if I hit the primary channel and I disturb it to a large degree, you know, which if you're inserting a needle into the primary channel, you will disturb it to a large degree. You know, you're inserting a sharp object into the body. When I insert it into the body, if I disturb the primary channel, a sinew channel, I apologize, then the treatment will work on the level of the sinew channel. So amazing for musculoskeletal or perhaps pathogens trapped on the surface or things like this, you know, okay, but my treatment is affecting the sinew channel. What will happen is the primary channel is affected secondary as a byproduct of the sinew channel. So you could kind of put it like this, like both channels, aspects of the channel will be affected at the same time. But if I hit the sinew channel, it's maybe 70% sinews and 30% primary. You know, it's like the 30% primary channel is just influenced as a byproduct of the sinew channel. What this means is that all of these sort of individual functions of the acupuncture on the meridian points, whatever you want to call them, all of those individual functions will be lessened. So for example, if I'm inserting the needle into a point that descends qi or clears heat from the body or maybe transforms damp, whatever it is, those aspects, those functions attached to the point, if I'm hitting the sinew channel level of that region of the body, you're only using that point function to 30% of its maximum potential. Maybe that was complex. Let me explain this. So say I'm going to insert the needle. I've got a point here and I want to clear heat from the body. And at that point very specifically tells me when you put a needle in here, you're going to clear heat from the body. And that's what I want to do. Now, if I put the needle in and I hit the sinew channel on the way down, then actually the body has received the instruction, oh, there is something happening on the level of sinews. So therefore, this is a sinew tissue treatment, musculoskeletal, whatever. Then what happens is because I've already hit the sinew channel and sent that instruction to the body, the actual function of that point, that acupuncture point, is lessened. So it's only about 30% effective because 70% of the treatment is on the level of the sinew channel. Now, obviously, these are just percentages I'm using as a concept. They're not too exact, but hopefully you get what I mean. Whereas on the other side of the scale, if I can insert the needle beyond the sinew channel without disturbing it to hit the primary channel and hit the primary point on that channel, then what I get is a much stronger clearing of heat. Now I'm clearing the heat to about 70% of its effectiveness, if you like, and 30% of the byproduct is the sinew channel is hit. It's like a set of scales. And now I've managed to go through to the primary channel. I'm tipping the scales in the favor of the primary point. And this is where the craft of the needle comes in. Like, how good are you at inserting the needle beyond the sinew channel to hit the primary point? Now, for a start, the primary channel is very thin. It's not a very thick thing. The sinew channels are thick, but the primary channel is thin. So when I'm inserting the needle into that primary channel, I also have to get the depth correct. I mustn't go too superficial because I miss the channel, and I mustn't go too deep because I miss the primary channel as well. I've got to be right in it. So the tip of the needle that I'm inserting goes right into the center of the primary channel, that at some points on that primary channel, it's only like a 2 millimeters thick or 1 millimeter. It's like very, very fine. So I must be able to feel back through the needle into me when I touch that primary channel. Okay, I must know it. And that means I need contact with the needle. I'm not going to feel that if my contact with the needle is just the tip of my finger tapping the head of the needle through the tube into the body. Now, of course, people might argue and say, well, once I insert that needle through the guide tube, tap, in it goes. Now I can take the tube off and then I can adjust the needle. And okay, arguably that's true. You can reach the primary channel, but through tapping the needle, you've already affected, most likely, the sinew channel. Because think of it like this. Think of the sinew channel and all of the tissue spreading out as like a cobweb with a spider sat at the center of it. And you know what happens when something flies into a cobweb? Bong, that fly hits the web and it sends a vibration along the web to the spider, and the spider knows something's landed in its web. It feels it and it runs along and eats the fly. The sinew channels are very similar. So when I take that needle and I just bang, I just tap it, you know, send that vibration through the tube, through the needle into the sinew channels. Once I do that, then really that's the equivalent of the fly landing in the web and sending a vibration along the length of the cobweb. And what will happen is now the body knows, okay, oh, this is a sinew channel treatment. So by using the guide tube and tapping it, that vibration has already accessed the sinew channel. So it means really that guide tubes in that way, if tapped and inserted in, can only really be used primarily for musculoskeletal things as much as anything, or maybe clearing something from the surface of the body or whatever you're using the sinew channel treatments for. So I wish to do away with the guide tube and then hold in the needle, insert it ever so finely and exactly, and with such precision that I can slide it, if you like, between the fibers of the sinew channel without disturbing it. It's equivalent of the fly managing to fly between the fibers of the spider's cobweb. You know, I want that needle to be inserted through the sinew channel without hitting it, so I do not disturb it. The body doesn't even know that the sinew channels are being affected. It doesn't know the needles are being inserted on the level of the physical body, because my skill, hopefully, you know, everyone makes mistakes, but hopefully my skill is such that I can insert the needle beyond the sinew channels to hit the primary channel. And when I hit the primary channel, boom, I get that biggest function that I want. I get the heat released, I get the fluids transformed or moved, or whatever it is that point may be doing. It's very akin to that story from the Zhuangzi that I'm sure if any of you have read Chinese classics, you're familiar with. And that's the story of Butcher Ding, right? So if you don't know who Butcher Ding was, if I badly paraphrase the story, dare I say butcher it, excuse the pun, then Butcher Ding essentially is a butcher and he has a knife. And the short version of the story is that essentially someone is amazed because every time he's cutting and cutting and cutting, he's cutting all the meat, he's cutting the pork, he's cutting the beef. His knife never blunts, it never goes blunt, it always stays sharp. And when asked about how, Butcher Ding, why does your knife never go sharp? He essentially says that his skill is at such a level that when he slides the knife into the meat that he's butchering, it never touches the meat. He's so specific that the meat parts out of the way as the knife slides through. Hence, there's never any clash with the meat, so the knife never blunts. This is a perfect analogy for me for what I want with the needle. Not that I don't want the needle to go blunt, you know, I'm not planning on reusing them anyway, but more to the point that when my needle slides through the meat, the flesh, the sinew channel, I don't want it to touch it. I want to be so precise with my needle. I want the chi so strong and filling the needle, and the muscular control, the little fine motor muscles of my hands so controlled, inserting this needle in a way that I've done 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, 1,000,000 times, maybe not, I don't know, maybe not that much. And I'm inserting it in to such a level that the sinew channel almost parts out of the way. It's like Butcher Ding's knife sliding into the meat. Through it goes and into the primary channel to get the maximum effect that I want. Conversely, because of the craft I have with the needle, if I do want to affect the sinew channel, I can be a bit rougher, you know, and my needle manipulation will depend upon this as well. I will manipulate and adjust the needle differently depending on whether I want the sinew channel or a primary channel treatment. I'll be a lot rougher, a lot sort of left and right, side to side, to really send that vibration through the fascia, through the connective tissue, through the muscles, whatever it is. I want to send that vibration through to tell the body, look, this is a sinew channel level treatment. Whereas at the same time, if I'm sliding beyond it into the primary channel, I'm more up and down and very fine and very gentle and trying to not disturb any of the tissues, not to cause any physical damage on a tiny, minute level, just so I can get that needle into the primary channel. At that stage, if you start to work at that stage, which, you know, is my advice, then even the feedback you get is different. So you will find that when you insert the needle into the sinew channel, essentially what I feel through the needle is I feel the handle. That's what I feel. I feel the handle, maybe a little bit of sort of a shake or resistance or something of the needle as it goes into the tissues, but not much else. But if I can slide beyond the sinew channel, beyond the physical, into the subtle, into the channel, then all of a sudden that feedback back from that primary channel is more. You can get everything from temperature changes, very subtle. The needle can suddenly heat up or cool down. Or sometimes there's an electric buzz that some of you may have felt that comes out of the primary channel into the handle. The yang qi essentially is being stimulated at this stage, and you can feel it back through your body. And all of a sudden the dirty sensation becomes less of a patient experienced effect, and all of a sudden part of a therapist experienced effect. And at this stage, that means that I have a connection with my patient. No longer am I just tap, needle in, walk away, tap, needle in, walk away, tap, needle in, go for a cup of tea for 20 minutes and leave the patient there on the bed. All of a sudden, I have like a direct feedback and connection with what I'm doing. I'm involved. The very act of using my needle in a craft-like fashion means that I connect with my patient. And okay, now we have a back and forth between the qualities of our qi. Now, some people who are working from a very Western scientific or medical biological perspective, whatever you want to call it, I call it materialist perspective. This will sound strange because perhaps to you guys, there is only the sinews and then maybe some nerve bundles underneath or something like that. But I would argue that you're missing a whole ton. that whole frog in a well syndrome of that which I have seen and touched and tasted and whatever is the only thing that's real. There's no bigger picture to Chinese medicine out there. It's outdated, it's dying out. And increasingly, being involved in the Chinese medicine world and talking to people, it's really funny because I tend to find that a lot of the, I can only talk about the experience I've had, and I'm more familiar with Europe, but I know that in America, maybe it's a little different, but certainly the educational facilities I've had contact with or that I've met students who and spoken to about their education is very much, it feels often like the teacher or the way that the education is structured is very sort of scientific research based. And I've heard many stories of teachers saying to the students on day one or maybe day two, just to set them in, qi isn't real and there's nothing energetic and it's a metaphor and an old and outdated idea and the way forward is scientific acupuncture. And actually, I don't find that that view from the loudest voices doing the education actually matches the viewpoints of many of the students or many of the people studying Chinese medicine. Many of the people coming to acupuncture are really interested in the esoteric side of it, in the subtle body. They often have backgrounds in qigong and yoga and meditation and religion and all these kind of things, and they're massively fascinated by the subtle, more internal aspect of the training, dare I say more traditional. So there is this idea that there's a discomfort almost in Chinese medicine training where people are sat there listening to these ideas of everything being very rote and very materialistic. And what I'm saying is actually, you don't really need to change your education. It doesn't matter what your theoretical concept is. The skill of contacting something internal on the level of actual qi, with regards to acupuncture, is your needle control. It's your craft. It's your craft. So my advice would be, one, throw out the guide tubes. Secondly, hold that needle and hold it for hours, you know, hours and hours. I used to have a massage bed in front of me because I couldn't keep perforating my friends. Also, I was very young when I started learning acupuncture, and, you know, not many people willing to trust me. So I would simply place my hand holding the needle onto the bed, and I would just needle that bed over and over again, perforating it hole after hole after hole, inserting needle after needle, blunting whole packets of needles, so that the very fine, tiny little muscles that you probably don't even know exist, the little connections inside your hand get finer and finer and finer till that needle can be inserted so smoothly that there's no deviation on the direction of the needle as it goes into the body. So that as it goes in at such a perfect angle, it just parts the flesh, it parts the sinew channel, going through it like Butcher Ding's knife without touching anything and reaching the primary channel. And through this kind of work, the more my listening is here, the more I'm paying attention to that process, the more my mind is involved in these ever such minuscule insertions of the needle that I'm repeating thousands and thousands of times, the more my qi starts to fill that needle, like my awareness, my energy starts to connect with it. So that then inserting the needle doesn't simply become, I'm putting needle in a point, it becomes, I am putting something in to cause an interface between my and my patient's body into that primary channel, so that now we have a two-way and that the therapist effect is massive and a much stronger impact upon my treatment. So that's just my advice, but you know, something to play with. The craft of the acupuncture needle, treated as that, a skill, a gong fu that needs developing over time. So yeah, that's me, Damon Mitchell. That's my advice. These days, I'm around the world doing different things. And if you look me up online, you can find me if you're interested in my ideas. Thank you.